set me free. I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, the darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free. The gates of that holy place stand open by night and day. Oh, look to the Lord who giveth more grace, who love has prepared the way. A home in those mansions fair, His hand has reserved for all. For the wedding feast prepare, obey the gracious call. Let's all stand. Oh, Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will then be. Then would it bring you joy, or sorrow and deep despair, when our Lord in glory comes, we'll meet Him in the air. Amen. Hey, I didn't pre-plan this, but we're going to have a meeting in the air. It's a word, amen. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard of stories told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us in that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. So much singing you will hear, never heard by mortal will. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's Son will be willing at that meeting in the mortar's bench. place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused the Eden. Absent on that day, there will be no drummers present to disturb us, and the Aikens will be busy far away. There the saints will have a seal upon their foreheads, dressed in raiment and will get to wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you let's go to Kia F. Kia F. Can you hear now? I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow road. And if God in life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since a Comforter abides in me. He abides, hallelujah, he abides. Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wing. Long ago I gave them up and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away, and the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not for sin, sin atoned. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood. Now by this I'll overcome. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Brother Chris, can you help me this evening? Amen. Thank you. Say amen. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power.
Bless you, saints. Good to be with you tonight.
Amen.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. We had a good time visiting our kids,
Amen.
Zach and Lily, and they're doing all right.
Amen.
Just want to let you know.
Amen.
And we had a good time with Brother Shambo and the saints up there. but tonight I want to speak on a little scripture from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 8. 1 to 8, and then we'll read Matthew chapter 24. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Well, God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'll, Lord, give us a little pick-me-up here in the middle of the week tonight, Lord. Lord, you know all the needs and all the things, Lord Jesus, that are laying there in the believers' hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, well, I thank you that we've got a word of deliverance and a help, Lord, in the hour and the season that we're living in, Lord Jesus, to just help us. Whatever we're going through, whatever trials are all around us, Lord Jesus, you give us a word to help us, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon the service tonight, Lord. Bless your people, Lord God. Bless these words, Lord, as they're spoken. We ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as I read the scripture, just kind of meditate on the thought maybe tonight that there's a true and there's a false, and of course we want to be a real genuine true believer, and of course it's unavoidable to know that there's a false as well, and if we can look in the scripture and just kind of see what we're identified as, and if we're identified with the wrong thing, then make adjustments and repent and get on the right track.
Amen.
But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if we read it, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the mouth, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So Brother Brown is talking about, or Paul here is talking about the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. You think about that. What a strange way that Paul had with his words. Brother Brown will say, he, God, that letteth will let until he, the church, Christ, the bride, be taken out of the way. And, you know, we meditate on that we know that one day Christ is going to step out of the way. One day he's going to take us out of the way. He's going to just remove the Holy Ghost from the earth. And then the wicked one shall be revealed. But even back then, the deceiver, when Paul was preaching, the deceiver was already working. So in other words, there's something fake. And if you think back there, all the way back in that Ephesian church age, Paul was preaching a real, genuine gospel that birthed real, genuine believers, that produced something real, genuine. And then alongside of them, there was something fake. All the way back then, that faker, the devil working, that he could get himself inside of men's hearts and get them deceived and get them to preach something that wasn't right, even though they might be anointed by the real, genuine Holy Ghost and have a real calling in their life to want to see souls saved and want to go to church and want to do things that are right and want to sit in the pew and all those kind of things. But yet down in their heart, there's something wrong. Well, you think about what makes somebody right and what somebody wrong. What makes somebody real and true and genuine, real true believer, and what makes them fake? What makes them fake? Well, that devil, that deceiver, is down on the inside. Now in Matthew 24, if we'll read that, Matthew 24:24-28, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible." Yeah, I'm so glad that's put in there, if it were possible. But, of course, that means it's close. It's very deceptive. They shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. You think about what that really is saying there. Oh, you got to have a revelation of where you can find God. Right. Somebody will say, well, if you go over to this church or you follow this movement or you follow these men or follow this man or over there like that, then try to find a particular movement that you can get behind and grab onto somebody's coattails and follow them in like that. But it don't work. You got to have a real personal revelation of for yourself. You see, that's actually what's taking place when you come to church is we're not trying to get you to a particular man behind the platform or a particular movement like that, but we're trying to get you to introduce you to Jesus Christ. We got the paintings up here on the wall. If you can get in touch with Jesus Christ, get in touch with the male. If the male can fertilize the egg, if the union can take place, then something will begin to happen, and you'll have your own relationship with God, and that's what will carry you through. So if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Wherever the carcass is. Now we were up there when we were visiting Zach and Lily. We were sitting out there looking over the field, and there was a big old eagle flying, and we were, of course, you know, the eagle, he's flying around. That, what a beautiful sight, flying over the field looking for food. And we used to have this little joke when Zach was little. He might do his finger like a rhinoceros, and he'd say, he's looking for food. Well, that's what that eagle is doing, is looking for food. And that's what any eagle is going to be doing, is looking for food. And that's where you're going to find the eagle, where the carcass is, where the fresh kill and the season and the hour that we're living in, that's where you're going to find the eagle. Because eagles, real spiritual eagles, are going to be where the word is. I like how Brother Chris Long explained eagles. There's all kind of different eagles. There's bald eagles and this kind of eagle and that kind of eagle. What kind of eagle are we talking about? We're talking about a bright eagle. We're talking about a supernatural eagle. I like that. We're eagles, and this kind of eagle is going to be where the word is. So we're following the word. We're following the word. We're following the truth to a real, genuine, true Christian life. Something that ain't fake. Something that's real. And what's going to differentiate it? What's going to be the way that you can tell is the word. The word is the thing that tells. What kind of message are you bringing? Are you bringing a real message like those women that come from the tomb of Jesus, and they came, they had a message. Well, he's alive. He's risen. What about Peter on the day of Pentecost when he come down and he knew what he was talking about, and he had a real revelation. The word that he had been taught for all those years that he had been with Jesus was quickened, and he knew what he was talking about when he came down from that upper room. Now, Brother Brown, when he was preaching the first seal, He said, we were talking the other day about people who getting off the track. It's just like shooting a target. If that gun is perfectly balanced, perfectly trained and sighted, it's got to hit the target. Unless that barrel moves or twists or vibrations throws it off, or wherever, or wind puff, wherever it starts off at, there's only one way to do. Amen. It's come back to where it left the track and start again if it's going to hit the target. If it doesn't, why? It just doesn't hit the target. So what's happening as we follow the word is leading us from here to here to here to, until we just hit right on the target. Now, if we get off the word, then we're going to miss the target. If you get off the word into some seven thunders doctrine, a two souls doctrine, or some kind of strange way to believe this or that, or strange way to believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or you get off to where, you know, people have read this sermon that I'm mixing two sermons tonight, if you hadn't figured that out. The anointed ones of the end time and the first seal. So let's squish those two sermons together, and you got what I'm preaching at. But people read the anointed ones of the end time until they come away with the, well, we don't need any kind of move of the Spirit. And so you start going off that track and you're wrong. You're wrong. You start going off the track. Well, you can be fake because you can be fake with a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost and your spirit, but no message. And so that doesn't mean let's just put away the any kind of move of the Spirit, though. And on the other hand, that doesn't mean let's get away, get so fundamental and, you know, you can balance and everything. And so that's what Brother Ram said. He said, and that's the way in studying the scripture, I believe. You'll never figure it with your mind. It takes the Lamb to reveal it. The Lamb alone can do it. Oh, what a strange thing that when you read the Bible, you don't read it like you're reading a Shakespeare novel, or you're reading it like some kind of something you find in the supermarket line or something. That you don't read it like a newspaper like that. But the only way you can really understand it is to be in touch with the author. Now you gotta know the author. If you really know the author, then the book begins to come alive. It begins to change. It's different. I certainly know. I remember when I started reading the Bible. And we were talking about this weekend. You start reading the Bible when you first become a Christian, and it's that King James language, and you're like, I don't know what in the world this is saying. What does this mean? And you just keep forging ahead. You keep reading. You ask questions, you look in the message and search for that answer about what this scripture means. And you just keep reading, and after a while, you start understanding the language. And after a while, you start understanding it better. And then after a while, then you can really read between the lines. Oh, and then after a while, it starts popping off the page. You see, that's actually what people I know, maybe you're sitting here tonight, you're like, I wish they would preach on the seven seals and that I could get that little nugget that's really going to take me into the rapture. But then when the seals begin to open up to you, you realize that the seals have been being preached all along and you just didn't realize it. You didn't realize it until the seals really open up to you and you begin to see the veil begin to pull off over your life and what's happened to the church over the last 2,000 years, what's happened to you as an individual, and then it becomes real to you. So see, there's something happening as we're coming to church. There's something really supernatural happening if you really fall in love with God. And it's exciting to you. It's exciting to you. And Brother Brown will say, you'll never figure it with your mind. You'll never figure it with your mind. It takes the Lamb to reveal it. The Lamb alone can do it. Now, thank God that we've got a Lamb. Thank God that we've got a Lamb that there's a Lamb that's sitting on the throne. They come off the throne to reveal these things to us, to signify that he's already paid the price, that he's the one that's worthy, and he's made us worthy by his righteousness. Amen. To look in the book and read it. We got a Lamb to reveal these things. So that means that God is going to have a target hitting church, a church that if they'll just stay with the word, they're going to hit the target. He's going to have a church that is balanced, that's right down the line, that doesn't go off to this side or that side in everything. Right down the line, he's going to have somebody that's balanced, and he's going to have a church that is unmovable and a church that is true. And that's what we're talking about tonight, true versus false. Now, isn't that what the first seal is about? You got a lion, and you got that white horse rider. There's something true and something fake. Now, I think that should stir everybody up, that to begin to look into things like that. That ought to wake us up here on a Wednesday night service when we're right here in the middle of the week. And we've only been preaching just a few minutes. What's the target that we're shooting for? The target is Christ. The target is Christ, for Christ to be completely revealed in his bride, to be completely revealed in you as I and I as individuals, for Christ to just take over, to just take everything over. And the target is Christ, so that means that the target is those seven thunders under the seventh seal. Thunder against the devil. Thunder where it's actually lived out and it's manifested, and that'll be thunder. That'll be a thunder against the devil, where it's not just something that you know so you can tell somebody how much you know, but actually lived out in your life. So that it's thunder that the devil can come and maybe give you a good little mind battle, but you recognize it's the devil. Give you a good little test, but you can stand the test because it's something real in your life, something that's not make-believe. And the seventh seal, Brother Ram said, now, do you notice on the opening of this seventh seal, also it's in the threefold mystery. This one I have will speak, and I've spoke that it is the mystery of the seven thunders. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It'll be right at the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he would return.
Amen.
Right there, under the seventh seal, the seven thunders, which is the mysteries of each seal, the mysteries. So now what we're talking about tonight is you can parrot what you heard somebody say about the seals. You can understand all the terminology. You can know the symbols. You can know the seals technically. You can know all the details of one God, and you can have Brother Branham's statements memorized. But now the thunder is the voice of God to you. God revealing himself to you. God revealing himself and putting himself on display in you. Because, you know, when God gives you a revelation, the side effect of the revelation is works, because faith is a revelation, and when you got faith, it's going to work itself out. It's going to act itself out. If you got a real revelation, it's going to change your behavior. It's going to change the way you look at things and change the way you act. It will change everything. If you got a real revelation, like we had last Sunday, you just had a baptism. If you got a real revelation, you need to go down and get to the water and be baptized. You're going to do it. If you got a real revelation of how to treat others, and it begins to change the way, all of a sudden, if you got a real revelation, you can treat somebody nice that you know don't like you. And it begins to change. And now there's a real thunder. The thunder, the revelation of what's under these seals. In Revelation chapter 6, it says, When the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And Brother Ram would say, no doubt John might have jumped up in the air when the thunder roared. And Revelation chapter 10, and it says, "Is he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders utter their voices." It's got to be lived. It's got to be something genuine, something real. Something real, a genuine Christian life, a genuine sanctified life. I'm debating whether to keep to kind of skip over some of these or not. I've got so much notes tonight, and I know it's Wednesday night, and I'm trying not to get y'all upset with me. He preaches the seals on Wednesday night. Something real. So the thunder, what's the thunder going to reveal? It's going to reveal John chapter 10. I and my Father are one. And that's when the Jews took up stones to stone him. I and my Father, what? Why? Because the seal, the thunder is just Christ. It's Christ revealed. It's Christ, what? Taken over. It's a takeover by Christ. That Christ can completely take you over until your confession will be, I and my Father are one. To think that you could say, we can come to a place where you can say, I don't do nothing except the Father shows me. I only do that which, the Father is showing me. In John chapter 14:30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And God wants us to have that same confession, that I don't have nothing in the devil. I don't have anything to do with the devil. The devil will try to give me some kind of mind battle and make me upset with somebody, make me, you can say no. So what's the seals reveal? It reveals something genuine. something true. Now, the first seal, certainly, it's going to reveal something genuine and something real and something false and deceptive. Amen. So there you see that seal being open. There's something genuine, something true, something real. Oh, thank God for a real gospel tonight. Thank God for a real baptism of the Holy Ghost and a real message that we've heard. And it's going to reveal something false and something deceptive. And in Revelation chapter 6, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, of course, we know that progression. There's a progression in everything: justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a progression from angels to seraphim all the way up to cherubim. And you think what a cherubim represents. It represents that genuine power of the Holy Ghost, a holy life, somebody that's really filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something that's real, something that's true. And Brother Brown said, "And the seed shall not be air with a shook." He said, "Now remember, according to Revelation, the whole mystery of the book is sealed with seven seals that the reformers didn't have a chance to bring forth. The four stages of reforming, the four stages of four beasts that went out to meet the four powers of the world. Yep, right. The first went out was what a strange thing. Those four creatures that everywhere they go, they're never going back. They're always going forward. Amen. Now, isn't that the same way with a Christian life? We don't go backwards. No. We're going forwards. Everything we do is forward. No matter whether it's the lion or if you're in that stage of the ox or the man or the eagle, no matter what your stage is, you're always going forward. And it's the Holy Ghost power, this power in your life. Amen. Now, in the wilderness, when Ezekiel saw it, there was the wheel in the middle of the wheel because they were on their journey. But it's that power, the power of God in every case. And he said, what was the first went out? A lion to meet the Roman age. That was the word, the original. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ himself went to meet that age. And Satan, you think you've got a real genuine revelation from God, that God give you something genuine and true. Right. That's something that the devil cannot fake.
That's right. Amen.
Now, the devil can fake everything else. He can fake coming to church and liking the worship and running up and down the aisle. He can fake wanting souls to be saved. He can fake everything else, but he can't fake the word.
No. Right.
He can't fake a real revelation. Amen. Of the word.
No.
That's why when you get up in the morning and you're meditating on the word in the morning and you start reading your Bible and God just comes down. And you know, you feel that presence of the Lord and you start reading the Bible. This scripture is for me.
Yep.
This scripture is going to help me today. And it starts meaning something to you. Oh, that's God. That's something that can only come from God. Because the devil can't fake a revelation. Satan is a faker and a deceiver, impersonating gifts and tongues and religion and churchianity, but he cannot impersonate the living, revealed word. He can impersonate everything else, but not the living, revealed word. Now, Brother Branham said, Satan can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of a gift. He said, I hope you're learning. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the word. It's a total secret. How can he not know this? Because it's a revelation.
Right,
you're only going to get this by knowing the author, by falling in love with God,
yes,
by being able to read between the lines.
Right.
And that's something the devil can't fake. I mean, the devil can't fake. So Satan can't understand. He can't apprehend. He can't comprehend. He can't know what a believer knows. If you're a real, genuine believer sitting here tonight, you got something that the devil can't even probe at. The devil don't know nothing about what a genuine Holy Ghost filled believer knows tonight. And a revelation ain't fake. It can't come by faith.
Nope.
It's not given by a faker. A revelation can only come by God.
Amen.
Oh, see, sometimes we make things so complicated in the Bible, but look how simple it is. But Brother Ram preached Christ revealed in simplicity, hidden in simplicity, revealed in the same. And we make it so complicated. And then you look at your own life and think how simple your life is. You're just as simple as a manger, as a little stable. And God will come down in that stable and reveal himself. And he can come down in your heart and reveal himself. And that's as simple as the seals is. That God can come down and hide himself in the simplicity of your life. And we'll make it all complicated as can be, but it's so simple that God can come down and tabernacle in your life and reveal himself in you, reveal himself in a little church in Lula, Georgia, in the middle on the side of the road. And what is this here? y'all changing things up on me. All kinds of electronics back here. And the first seal, Brother Ram said, "Who is that white horse rider?" He said, "You're not blind. You see who it is. It's that Antichrist and that deceitful spirit that's gone now and crept in." Yep. So we got the genuine article and the fake.
Amen.
The genuine and the fake.
Yep.
So what the seal reveal? It reveals how do I tell the difference?
Right,
and what's the story of my life? How do I get rid of iniquity? All those things. I'm gonna lay that to the side for now. It's all right. He said, Brother Brown said, "Now seeing all this accumulation of evidence that the hour that we now live in, I think it's a good thing to rehearse these things and to draw them out since the seals has been opened and find out the truth of these things as God has been so loyal to us with his grace to show us these things." He said, "I want you to notice here in Matthew 24, Jesus used the term of Christ's, not Christ, but Christ's, plural, not singular, Christ. Therefore, the word Christ means the anointed one.
Amen.
And then if it's anointed, there will be not only one, but many anointed, the anointed ones. See, a false Christ. Brother Bob, what's anointed ones have to do with the first seal? It's fake. It's fake. And an anointed one is something that's fake. A false Christ, a faker, somebody that's faking. They love going to church and they love the worship and they love praise and maybe they love doing what they believe they're doing for the kingdom of God, but down on the inside is fake. And all down through the scripture, you can see those two vines twisted together all the way from Cain. Cain loved going to church. He loved offering his sacrifice. Balaam loved, he was a prophet of God. And his prophecy was true, but his message was wrong. You see, the prophecy was correct, but the message was wrong. How do you tell what's wrong? The message, the word, the thing down on the inside is all cankered and twisted and wrong. But on the outside, they're in church and they're loving the seven altars and that Balaam had, all the worship and everything just looked just right along with what the real, true, genuine was. But there was something lacking. And he said, a false Christ is a false anointed because Christ is the anointed. Yes. There will be false anointed ones, and they'll call themselves prophets.
Yep. Right.
But how will you recognize them? By the word, that's how you know it. By the word, whether they are right. True. How will we recognize them? Will be by the word.
Amen.
They might heal the sick. They might open the eyes of the blind.
Yep. Right.
And deny the word. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Don't care what it is. Stay with that word regardless.
Amen.
Because many times I've seen voodoo and all kinds of things take place under healing.
Right, brother,
so what's he saying now? You might be all covered in oil, but what's the oil covering?
Right.
You take some oil and you put it over a cockle burr, and there's still a cockle burr underneath there. And that's what happens sometimes. People come to church. You'll go to a good old camp meeting, and you get real covered over in oil. And then you leave the camp meeting and wonder, like that question Brother Brown asked, how do I overcome?
Right,
you just keep slipping back. And, you know, you go to a good revival, and you come back, but you slip back in looking at pornography. You slip back in talking dirty. You slip back into cussing. You slip back into your old friend group. You just slip back and you just can't live a real, genuine Christian life. It's because you got the oil covering over something that's fake. Your message is your message. The word in your heart ain't there. What it is the devil's in there. And you know, you got to get the devil kicked out because you can't give the devil the Holy Ghost. How are you going to give the devil the new birth? You got to get him kicked out.
Amen.
You got to kick him out first.
Right,
and to kick him out, what does it take to kick him out? You got to put something in there. And you put the word, get the real word of God down in your heart. And you watch, the devil can't stand around. You know, sometimes this might be a little silly way to put it, but we talk about haunted houses sometimes. And how you go to, you know, we kind of maybe joke about how, you know, if I saw the door to my house being open and closed or whatever, I'd get busy and I'd be playing tapes in my house.
Yeah.
I'd be praying. I would, you know, you wouldn't put up with something like, I think Brother Wayne Lawson was preaching along those lines. He said, if I knew there was my house was haunted, it's time for the devil to get out.
Amen.
Well, what if your house, what if your natural house is haunted?
Amen.
If the devil was in your natural house, it behooves us to get busy and figure out a way to get him out.
Amen.
Now, if playing tapes and setting an atmosphere in a haunted house could get that spook out,
yeah.
If you start singing songs of praise and worship, it'll get that spook out. Well, what about the spook in your soul? If you want to get rid of him, you start meditating on the things of God. You start reading your Bible and listening to sermons and thinking about the things of God and lay aside all that gobbledygook of the world. Just forget watching all the Marvel movies and all the Tommy Rot that your friends want you to look at, and you watch the devil leave. The devil's going to have to leave because the word will boot him out.
Yes,
well, the strong man comes to the house, and there might be a strong man that he's, as Jesus told that parable, he's got all his treasures and everything, but when a stronger than him comes to the house, you got to go. You got to go, and that's how you cast out devils.
Amen.
Is the word will cast the devil out every time.
Amen.
You see, somebody might, you know, a young person might come up and say, "Well, I want to get free of whatever this spirit is," and you can pray over them and you can pour oil on them and all those kind of things. But if there's a cocklebur under that, they're just going to go right back to the thing.
Right,
what you got to do is just lay under the fountain. I'm talking about the fountain of the word.
Amen.
You get busy, and get busy with kicking that thing out. And you watch God begin to get a hold of your life and God begin to take over. And that's what's revealed in the seals, how God will take over your life. It's a takeover. Now, either the devil's going to take over or God's going to take over. You can let the devil take over your life, or you can let God take over. And how you let God take over is you get in the word and just lay in under the word. Just get in the word. Fall in love with Christ. Draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. And you watch him just begin to take care of all the problems. You might be covered in oil, but what's the oil covering? A grain of wheat or a cocklebur? And how you tell the difference is what's the message? What's the message? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, come out with a message. He began to preach Jesus and tell them how to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was his message, because that was what was under the oil. But the Pharisees, they come out, why are you healing somebody on the Sabbath? Because that was a nasty old cockabur. That nasty old something underneath it, like, just trying to do good, but yet doing evil without even realizing it. Doing evil, thinking they're doing good, because it was a cockabur, something nasty and horrible. Even though they might have been anointed by the genuine Holy Ghost, even though like Caiaphas was anointed when he spoke that, what was it about? One must die. I'm drawing a blank exactly how. But anyway, he prophesied because he was covered. The anointing was on him, and he spoke something that was true, but yet the Jews went ahead and killed Jesus. So what message is underneath? Brother Brown will say anointed one is one with a message. And the only way the message can be brought out is by one that's anointed. And that would be a prophet, anointed. They shall rise false anointed teachers, but anointed people with false teaching. Anointed ones, Christ, plural, prophets, plural. And if there is such a thing as a Christ singular, then these would have to be anointed ones. That their prophecy of what they were teaching would be the difference. Because they are anointed ones. Anointed. A false message. Now, so that begs the question now. When we come to church, What do we come to church for? You know, there's a lot of people that come to church because they like the bait on the hook. They like the food that we serve. They like the coffee downstairs. They like the happy atmosphere where we give you love and we give you that good old gospel hug, and we draw you into our fellowship and everything. There's people that come for that. There's people that come because they want to share their story, and they want people to hear and listen to them and fellowship. But those things can be faked. Those things can be good. It's good. It's good to fellowship and get in the anointing. But what about the main thing? The main thing is to fall so in love with God and so in love with the Word that when somebody rubs you the wrong way, you don't just give up and go away and turn around. To fall so in love with God till it's God that you're in love with, not the church, not the people that might betray you and might deceive you and might do something wrong to you, might hurt your feelings. But it's God. It's God that you've got to fall in love with. It's the Word that you've got to fall in love with. The Word. It's the relationship with the Word. That's the real thing. That's the real, genuine thing that will carry you through when all else fails. Men will fail you. People will fail you. People will go different ways. Things in life will happen. But there's one that will stick closer to you than a brother. And that's the Word. That's Jesus Christ. So now that's what we're trying to get you to when you come to church, to not draw you to a particular place or a particular person or group or a movement or anything like that, but to Jesus Christ. Because if you get in touch with Jesus Christ, if you get with Jesus Christ, He'll make everything different. Don't you want to be with somebody that can boot that devil out, that can kick that devil out and change your life and change your nature and make you something real and something genuine and reveal these seals to you that something's happened in your life, that God is on the scene, something real and something true, and that is not a fake. Oh, we don't want fakers. We want something genuine, and we've got a recipe for a real, genuine Christian life laying here in the pages of the Bible and the pages of this message that God has given us in this day. Look at what a false message will bring, a resurrection without death. Or you can have a resurrection, but you don't have to die. A false message, birth without dying out, maturity without suffering. It all sounds good, but it's wrong. Shaking hands with an elder is evidence. God can't do it, but you can, like Satan told Eve in the garden. The days of miracles are past. See, you can be an anointed with a real, genuine Holy Ghost, but the message will be wrong. And the message is what proves whether it's genuine or whether it's fake. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now listen to this parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 5. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now listen to how Jesus explains this. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Think about what a good God we have, that there can be somebody terrible. He made his son to rise on Hitler. He made his son to rise on Mussolini. So he's saying, if I can do that, why can't you? And he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. We've got such a good God that he'll send his anointing on an unbeliever in the church. He'll send his anointing on a faker, maybe somebody that won't ever really come to the true knowledge of the truth, but yet God is so good that he'll give a blessing in church. He healed him in a prayer line, because that's the kind of good God that we have. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. So what's the parable that we can get? What's the message we can get out of that? If God can bless the faker, why can't you? If God can be good to a faker, why can't you? And Brother Ryan said, now someone might say to me, do you believe that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person. And yet they are false. That the genuine Holy Spirit of God can be on a person, and they're false. Both the weed and the weeds live by the same anointing from heaven. Both of them rejoice over it. The same Holy Spirit that anoints the church that gives them desire to save souls, that gives them the power to perform miracles. It falls on the unjust the same as the just, the very same Spirit. So that means that the same Spirit that makes you want to go to church can make an anointed one want to go to church. The same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost Spirit that makes you want to see souls saved can make an anointed one want to see souls saved. I remember my dad telling the story of growing up in the Church of God of Prophecy, and he said he got in the car. He was just a little fella, and he got in the car with this preacher, and he said, "Boy, if you want to know how to make money, then be a preacher. But those people are anointed; they want to help and they want to see souls saved. But their message is wrong. Their motives and their objectives and everything is wrong because they're in it for the wrong things. They want to go to church. They want to see souls saved. That same Holy Ghost that makes you want to see a sinner saved can make an anointed one. The same Holy Ghost that makes you want to worship and want to praise God and makes you want to be in the atmosphere can make an anointed one and want to worship. Now see why the scripture says it can be close. It can be so close. That same Holy Ghost that makes you want to help somebody can make an anointed one want to help somebody. That same Holy Ghost that makes you want to sing in church can make an anointed one want to sing a special in church. But be false. A false believer or a false teacher. Oh, it's that word. It's that incorruptible seed down on the inside that makes you real or genuine or fake. The devil is on the inside. Now, what? And I'm not going to stay long tonight. We'll be closing in just a minute. But what? How do we get that devil out? That's what's revealed in the seal. How do you get the devil out? If the devil's on the inside and he's the one that's making you fake, making you act wrong and do wrong, rejoice in church and worship in the Spirit and like going to church, but when you get home, you act different and you can't treat your right wife or your husband right. And you're just horrible.
Come on,
can't stay away from those sites on the internet that you shouldn't be looking at. Can't stay away from alcohol or vaping or whatever it is. All those vices you just can't overcome because that conqueror is there and it's something wrong. How are you going to get that thing out? That's why the first seal says there's a lion. The lion went out. How do you defeat the devil? Well, that lion is the word of God. And you defeat the devil every time by it is written. It is written. Now, what did Brother Branham say in the greatest battle ever fought? Everybody's got their eggshell that they got to get out. And how do you get out of that eggshell? Whatever your eggshell is tonight, you're going to come out just like an eagle does with your mouth speaking the word of God. You ain't going to come out speaking all kinds of negativity. I don't think I'll ever be anything. I don't think God's still moving in the church. I don't think I'll ever be healed. You're going to come out speaking his word. If you're going to come out, you're going to come out speaking it is written. And that's how you're going to get the devil out, by speaking his word, accepting his word, believing it, and you watch the devil lead. That's what in Proverbs chapter 16 it says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. That's how you get rid of iniquity. You get rid of it by mercy and truth. Oh, if you can come with God with confidence, like Paul said, come with boldness, believing that he is a God of mercy, that when his Spirit begins to move, it's moving with forgiveness. If you come with a repentant, humble heart, that God will get to moving, and you come believing on his truth, and you lay that your confidence in his mercy with his truth there, and you watch and see if your iniquity. What's iniquity? Iniquity is something where you know you shouldn't be doing it. You know you shouldn't be looking at those websites. You know you shouldn't be living the way you are. But you can't help it because you're a cocklebur. You just can't help it. So you're going to do what a cocklebur does. You can't help it. Oh, what a fix that sin has put us in, to know that you shouldn't do things, but yet you do them anyway. Boy, but when God comes on the scene and boots the devil out, then you can do what God's word says, and then you can walk in his word and live a straight, holy life, a straight, separated, holy life, like all of these saints in the Bible that we read about. Moses and Aaron and Abraham. See, there it is. Some people come to church for the food and the fellowship and a pat on the back. and somebody to kind of bless the way that they're living and tell them they're being a real good Christian. Isn't that how some people, they want to get in favor with the minister so that the minister can say that you're doing all right.
Yeah.
Oh, but if you could get in favor with God.
Right.
Don't seek favor from a minister or somebody. You know, I meditated on a story that Brother Ram told about the person in the symphony. They were playing up on the stage. They were playing the violin. And they at the end, when they finished their what they were playing, they got a big standing ovation. But the only one that they were interested in was their teacher. Now, see, we should only be interested in what God thinks of us. So many times you'll hear negative feedback or positive feedback. You know, you preach a sermon and somebody will say, well, I don't like that. Well, maybe they'll say, well, I think you're a really good preacher. But you got to put those in their own special boxes, because really ultimately don't matter except for what God thinks about you. It really don't matter what the minister thinks about you or what your friend thinks about you. What matters is what God thinks about you. So when you come to church, don't come for the pat on the back, but come for the revealed word, because that's the thing that matters. That's the thing that'll make you real genuine, a real genuine believer. It's a revelation of the word that's changing us and keeping us. Now, that's what Paul said. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians that that faker, that deceiver, was already working. The mystery of iniquity way back in that very first church age. Deceivers deceiving the people off into something. A spirit working to deceive. Something fake. Working to deceive. A spirit teaching something wrong about the new birth. Teaching something. You teach something wrong about the new birth, and how are you going to have a real genuine new birth if the real pathway is not laid out for you? Then it just messes everything up because the message is wrong. And that's what the Antichrist is, that faker, that spirit of deception moving, the spirit of deception moving in an anointed one, an anointed one that ain't genuine. They're anointed by the genuine Holy Ghost, but their message is wrong. Boy, you know, you hear good old gospel preaching that's right. That ought to make a real Holy Ghost filled believer really rejoice. I was talking to my wife the other day. There's some real believers, some real preachers around the message that I really hold in high regard because of their stand and because they study and so forth. But it seems like everywhere you go, people don't really grasp what they've got. I was talking to my wife about some people at another church way away from here, many, many states away from here. And the people were, there were some people in the church. Oh man, if you knew who I was talking about, I really admire this preacher. But there's people in that church that are like, I just want to go back home. It's because everywhere you go, people don't really realize what they got. But if you really realize the treasure that you've got with some real gospel preaching, that where you got some ministers that will really study. Oh, and I ain't trying to build nobody up. I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm just trying to say it is what it is. If you got some real genuine gospel preaching, you ought to appreciate it. You ought to appreciate all these brothers, because there's so much fake. There's so much fake out there. And I've seen what fake does. Just up there where we were this past weekend, they've been through such a horrible turmoil coming out of the mess that came, the great big minister leaving the message and all the things that happened, and it just caused fake causes such a mess. Oh, but when you got a real genuine, you ought to see people rejoice when they come out of that and they've got real genuine gospel preaching. They really appreciate it. On their feet, the whole service. I'm not saying y'all need to be on your feet and everything, but it'd be nice. But but when you see something real genuine, it's something to be appreciated. And Brother Bram said in the anointed ones at the end time, he said, these trees, the true vine and false vine. He said, you've heard me preach on that since from years ago, how they've grown up together. Brought them in individuals and showed that from Cain and Abel, the two vines that met at an altar.
Right.
Both of them religious. both of them anointed,
yep.
both of them desiring life and worshiping the same God, and one was rejected and the other were received. Why was Abel received and Cain rejected? They both were religious. They both were at church. They both were worshiping. They both brought their sacrifice the best way they thought they could. And he said the only way that the one was received could have done anything different from his brother, it was revealed to him. For the Bible said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous.
Amen.
What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you.
Amen.
Now, faith, if we really want to nail it down, faith, when you got a revelation, you're going to cast away everything else that's contrary to that.
That's right.
If God really reveals to you that you are healed, glory. It don't matter what the doctor says.
That's right.
It don't matter what the skeptic says in the parking lot.
Amen.
Well, is it really for you? Amen. It don't matter because God revealed it to you.
Amen.
That's what faith is. Faith, when God really reveals to you that you're going to take a body change, it don't matter what the politicians are doing. It doesn't matter how close their finger is to the nuclear button. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters when God really reveals something to you. And now there's the definition of what faith is. Faith is how you look at Ron Spencer, that he can throw up 10 times before he gets behind the pulpit. And then when he preaches, it's faith that's holding him up. It's faith. Faith does not look at the circumstances. I was watching him. This might be on the internet, but anyway, I was watching him preach that prayer line at the Louisiana camp, and I was thinking, my, that's got to be something supernatural that he can preach for 3 hours knowing all the battles and the troubles and everything he's in. Now, he's an example of faith. Faith will hold you, and faith is... It's something that is revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. You know what God wants done. And all you got to do is just walk in it. You know what's going to happen because God's word says so. And it's based upon the word of God. You think the true vine and the false vine both have the same anointing. The water fell on both of them. No wonder he warned us it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. They look the same. They're anointed the same. But notice, by their fruit, it's what they produce that tells you the difference. The fruit will tell it. Now, see, look at Balaam. Now, he come on the scene. He made his prophecies. His prophecies were correct. The anointing was correct. But his message was, we're all the same. And that ain't right. You think about maybe today, the hour that we're living in, the anointing could be on someone to speak a prophecy correct. But if they tell you, well, you don't need to come to church anymore, just stay home, you know the message is wrong. The message ain't right. See, that's how close it is. Somebody come on the scene and say, well, I've got these credentials or whatever, and people will fall for it hook, line, and sinker because they don't really know what the message is. And the message, the revelation, is how you tell the difference.
Amen.
The word. What is the fruit?
Yes.
The word for the fruit of the season.
Amen.
And we'll close on that as the musicians come forth. The word, that's what it is they're teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season, what time it is, man's doctrine, denominational's doctrine, or God's word for the season.
Amen.
Now, aren't you glad this afternoon that we've got God's word, that his word is our influence, his word is our everything, and his word is that thing that will cast out the devil. So if you need the devil cast out, then just hang on to his word, take his word, and let it influence your life, and just walk into his promises, and let him take you over. As we stand to our feet, I want a gospel takeover.
Amen.
I want God to take me over.
Glory.
And he's going to do it if you just believe his word. He's going to take everything over.
Amen.
Till every kingdom of this world is taken over.
Amen.
By the word of God.
Amen.
Let's sing something to him.
This world is not my home. My just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Is that how you feel?
Oh Lord,
it's time to get out of here.
I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus.
Just feel a bit more worshiping, and if you need anything, glad to pray for you tonight.
I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then what will I do? The angels beckon me.
You feel like that tonight?
Yes.
This world ain't my home. I'm just passing through. Oh, when you look at it that way, you don't love them movies no more. You don't love them picture shows.
That's right.
You don't love all the things of this world. It changes your perspective. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm going somewhere. Takes the fear of death away, doesn't it?
Yes. Because
you know we're going somewhere. God is good, isn't it? Lisa, do you have anything? Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful for your promises, so grateful for your word, Lord God, and so grateful that you gave us a way out, Lord God, a way out of Babylon, a way to be delivered, Lord, from the things of this world, from the things of our mind, the things that the devil assails us with. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll bless your people, Lord, as they go on the way on the roads home, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'll just quicken these words to them, Lord Jesus. And maybe there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know you the way that they ought to. Maybe there's somebody that maybe they're meditating on these things and realizing there might be some things lacking in their life. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll cause them to get serious, Lord, because surely this is a time to get serious. Lord, you could just hear that door creaking shut, where before long, the door will be shut and there won't be any more flesh saved. It'll be over. All the ones that will respond, there won't be any more to be able to respond. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to prick hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, maybe on the way home tonight, Lord Jesus, maybe your spirit will just get to wooing, Lord God. And Lord, you'll call and draw, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that your blessing upon the people as they go home, Lord Jesus, and guide them and keep them safe, Lord God. Grant it now, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. God bless you, saints, as you're dismissed.
Older debt I could not pay, I need